You're listening to West Virginia Morning. I'm John Cantese.
You might be one of the many Americans who relies on sell-by dates to determine when to throw out milk in your fridge. The Allegheny Front reports that a physics professor thinks he's hit on a better way to tell if food is fresh, and he's taking it to market.
How do you decide which container of milk to buy and if it's fresh enough? I recently visited a busy grocery store in Pittsburgh on a Saturday morning. That's where I met Lauren Wallace, buying milk, of course.
I look for the cheapest one and I always get the fat-free.
She's also inspecting quarts from the back of the cooler for the latest sell-by date. And when the milk in her fridge hangs out beyond that date,
I automatically dump it. I won't even taste it.
She's not alone. According to Harvard Law School's Food Law and Policy Clinic, 90% of us throw away food when that date arrives, either always, most of the time, or occasionally. But the labels are just a guess by manufacturers about how long food, like your milk, stays fresh. Tossing it prematurely contributes to America's food waste problem, using up water and energy, not to mention landfill space. A physics professor thinks he's hit on a better way to tell if milk is fresh, using nanotechnology.
1 nanometer usually is about 3 atoms wide.
Greg Kenning at Indiana University of Pennsylvania discovered that when exposed to time and temperature, ultra-thin layers of the elements antimony and cobalt mimic the decay cycle of milk. A tiny sheet of these metals could be embedded in a label on a milk carton and read by an RFID scanner. Radio waves read electronically stored information in the label.
So the idea is that you would come in to buy your quart of milk, and instead of looking at the dates for the freshness, your cell phone would tell you what the freshest milk was in the whole system. And you'd have a scanner in your fridge. Your fridge would tell you when it's going to expire.
Kenning hopes the milk sensors will appear in a store near you within a couple of years. Until then, you'll have to use the sniff test to tell if that milk is still good enough for your cereal. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Carol Holsapel.
The Allegheny Front is produced in Pittsburgh and reports on the environment. More information at alleghenyfront.org. It is the third Thursday of the month, and that means we're going to bring you the next installment of our poetry podcast, The Poetry Break. Today, host, curator, and West Virginia's Poet Laureate, Mark Harshman, brings us the poetry of one West Virginia's former Poet Laureates, Louise McNeil.
Welcome to The Poetry Break. I'm Mark Harshman, and today we'll be listening to the work of Louise McNeil, Poet Laureate of West Virginia from 1979 until her death in 1993. She was a poet much admired by the leading literary figures of her day, from Archibald MacLeish to Stephen Vincent Benet, but was in danger of being forgotten until a younger generation of poets, most especially Maggie Anderson, brought her work back to national prominence. I will never forget attending an evening concert at the Vandalia Gathering late in Louise's life, and seeing her wheeled onto the stage, then standing up into a walker and reciting from memory her poem, First Flight. By the time she had finished, her hands, arms were upraised as the poem was greeted with thunderous applause, and there was not a dry eye in the house. And so that particular poem, First Flight. Once when I was little and played on the hill, one wondrous evening, I dream of it still. Mom called me to dinner, impatient, I knew. So I lifted my arms up and flapped them and flew. I lifted my arms up and flapped them, and lo, I was flying as fast as my short legs could go. The hill swirled beneath me, all foggy and green. I lit by the yard fence, and no one had seen. I told them at dinner, I said, I can fly. They laughed, not believing. I started to cry and ran from the table and sobbed, it is true. You need not believe me. I flapped and I flew. I told them next morning. I told them again. For years I kept telling. They laughed and I ran. No one would believe me. I ceased then to tell, but still I remember it well. One soft summer evening up there on the knoll, before life had harried the reach of my soul, I stood there in twilight, in childlight, and dew, and I lifted my arms up and flapped them and flew. Louise was a master of creating poems in more traditional, formal poetic stanzas, poems that nonetheless didn't get entrapped by the expectations that can come with a strict rhyming pattern, for instance. Here's a poem titled West Virginia. Where the mountain river flows and the rhododendron grows is the land of all the lands that I touch with tender hands, loved and treasured, earth and star, by my father's fathers far, deep earth, black earth, of the lime from the ancient ocean's time. Plowland, fern land, woodland shade, grave land where my kin are laid, West Virginia's hills to bless, leafy songs of wilderness, dear land, near land, here at home, where the rocks are honeycomb and the rhododendrons, where the mountain river runs. These poems were drawn from the book Hill Daughter, New and Selected Poems, published by the University of Pittsburgh Press. I'm Mark Harshman, wishing you good words in the air and on the page.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with all of the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. And make sure you send your comments to feedback@wvpublic.org. You can follow us on Twitter @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara, our director is Teresa Wills, and I'm John Cantese. Have a good morning.